Gospel of Luke and the 19th chapter. While you're turning there, let me tell you that camp is going well. We have completed boys camp and now girls camp, which finished last Thursday. And tomorrow morning we set out for a week of day camp. And you can pray for us if we come to mind during the week. We're expecting a load of kids. We had to add an extra bus onto the route because of the numbers that we're expecting. Normally we have somewhere between 75 and 80 who pre-register, and the rest come as walk-ons. And this year we have 138 pre-registered. And if we add what we consider to be a fair number of walk-ons, we're going to be just inundated with kids. That's good. An opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus. We have a tremendous staff of young people coming up to help. And so we're excited at the prospects of having a lot of young people on campgrounds this week and a chance to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We'll end our reading there and we'll ask for the Lord's help. Father, what a wonderful privilege it is again to open thy word. And we ask, Father, this morning that thou would take thy word and apply it to our lives and our hearts this morning. Father, thou knowest each and every need assembled here, and we pray, Father, that thou would speak to the needs, that thou would take thy word and refresh the hearts of thy people, and that thy word as well, Father, would convict in the hearts of those who as of yet know not Christ. Father, we just ask that all that is said and all that is done might bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it in his name. Amen. It was likely obvious to you as we read that passage of scripture together that we have two anxious seekers. In those first 10 verses of Luke's gospel in chapter 19, we have two anxious seekers. And it should be no wonder to us this morning that they found each other. Because when two people anxiously seek one another, they likely find one another. In this portion of scripture, I see a Savior anxiously seeking a sinner. And I see in the person of Zacchaeus a sinner anxiously seeking a Savior. We're told that Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was a man who had great wealth, and yet he wanted to see Jesus. And he wasn't prepared to be hindered by the press, by the gathering of the crowds, because he was a small man. He was going to do what it took to overcome the hindrances and see Jesus. And we see the statement of the Lord Jesus who says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Of course, they met each other. And I have never really known anyone in my life who has really sought to find the Lord Jesus, who has really wanted to know him with all his heart and all his soul, and who hasn't found him. And I have good news for you this morning, that if you're here and you want to know this one named Jesus, he's there for the knowing. He wants you as well. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I've been thinking over the last couple of weeks or month, perhaps, as boys camp and girls camp has traveled its course, as to the series of events that goes on in a person's life when they begin to think about eternity, when they begin to think about where they might stand should their life come to an end and what happens in a life. And it seems to me that a number of general things happens. You see, when divine light breaks in upon a soul, when the Spirit of God begins to speak to one who perhaps has never thought of eternal things before. They begin to feel like something's wrong. Something's missing. They can't quite put their finger on it. They're not even quite sure they feel like something's wrong. But when they begin to be confronted with eternal things, there's a piece of the puzzle that's missing. Something just doesn't feel right. There's a hole that needs filling, but nothing fills it. And pretty soon it makes one feel like there is a void, an emptiness, a want. We understand this morning that that's the Spirit of God that begins that feeling in a person. It's the Spirit of God that begins that consideration of eternal things. For you and I physically, as human beings, we don't want God. We're not drawn to God. But the Spirit of God begins a work, and there seems to be an understanding of an emptiness. You might be here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus, and you've tried everything under the sun to feel satisfied. You've tried money, you've tried affection, you've tried prominence, you've tried work, as the man, our chairman, just described to us. You've tried everything under the sun, and yet something just seems to be missing. And that person who would fill that void is the reason we've come here this morning to speak of him. His name is Jesus. And quite soon after someone begins to think about eternity, and begins to think about the prospect of standing before God one day, whether they believe it or not, because the Bible has told them it will be true, they begin to realize that were they to die at this very instant, because of their lack of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, they're not ready to meet God. Boy, that's an important realization to come to, isn't it? That without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are not ready to stand before God. We're not ready to give an account of our lives because our lives are dead in trespasses and sins, and we don't know the only answer that there is for the salvation that could be ours, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, one day, we will all, like Zacchaeus, stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We will either stand before him as our Savior, or we will stand before him as our judge, but we will meet him one day. And this morning you need to know on the authority of the Word of God that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not ready to stand before God. Oh, your pride might say, yeah, well, I'll just plead my case and everything will be okay. The Scriptures say that in His presence, every heart that hasn't been transformed by the new birth, every heart, every mouth will be stopped. You'll have nothing to say before Christ. And just like Zacchaeus, a day's coming when each and every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will have an audience, if you will, with him. Whatever the case, whenever the case is that an individual begins to be drawn by the Spirit of God and recognizes that there's a void in their life and recognizes based on the authority of the Word of God that they at that moment, should they die, are not fit to stand before God, God puts the gospel in front of them, gives them the answer to their problem, just as in the case of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. There was something that drew Zacchaeus to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus, when we first meet him at the beginning of chapter 19, is not ready to stand before God. And yet in 10 short verses, we are told that today, that very day, salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. We want to talk about what happened to this man's life. Here is a man that wanted above all else to see Jesus. And I wonder this morning if you could be honest with yourself, just with yourself. If God's recording angel were recording your life story, if there was a moment that would be on that record, a moment in your life when you decided, when you felt, when you wanted more than anything to know this one named Jesus. For my Bible tells me to those who sincerely look with all their heart and soul and strength, he's there to be found. But we need to want to find him, don't we? We need to agree with what God has to say. And we need to understand that the only answer to the problem of sin is this man named Jesus. I wonder if that's true of every life here this morning. That there was a time in your life when you wanted to find Jesus. You cried his name out. You called his name. You wanted to know what it meant to be saved from your sin. I wonder if you've ever been anxious to see Jesus. You see, Zacchaeus was drawn to this one named Jesus in a most remarkable way. Doubtless, he had heard about the Lord Jesus. His miracles, the tremendous things that he'd done were voiced and noised abroad. You're quite sure of that. The tremendous things that he had accomplished in miraculous way, people were talking. No man did these things except God were with them. That was the least they were saying. This was the one of which the scriptures had promised many were calling. This is the one that would free Israel from their bondage and from their domination by Rome. Not only that, this is one who caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear. This is the one that had caused lame men to walk and had even raised the dead. Zacchaeus likely had heard a great deal about the Lord Jesus. The scriptures tell us that this one named Jesus had passed through Jericho once before. He'd come through that way before. But the scriptures tell us that after this time, he never passed there again. This was the very last time that the Lord Jesus Christ bodily would have ever passed the way of Zacchaeus. That's what gives this story such tremendous force. That is what gives this story such tremendous import. Zacchaeus had one last opportunity to come face to face with this one named Jesus before his appointment at Calvary, where he died for the sins of the world. And Zacchaeus grasped that opportunity and he took it. It was the last chance that he had to speak to the Lord Jesus. Suppose, if you will, that he put it off. Suppose he had said to himself that the press is too great. There's too many people. I'm afraid of heights. I can't climb the tree. Nobody likes me anyway. I'm just going to stay in my house and hopefully he'll come back another time. The scriptures tell us that Zacchaeus never went that way again. I mean, the Lord Jesus never passed that way again. Zacchaeus would have lost his last opportunity. Can I tell you this morning that this may be the very last time you ever hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying for your sins. It might be the very last time that you hear anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear what verse 10 says. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If a man be not, if a woman be not in the enjoyment of the gospel, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, if they don't know what it means to have their sins forgiven, the scriptures say they are lost. What a terrible word, isn't it? Lost. What a terrible word. Paul tells us that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How many people in the world hear that word, hear the gospel message, and they say, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. I know exactly where I am right now. I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. I know where I came from, and yet the Bible says you're lost. You're missing the whole reason for which you were created. To know God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to have a relationship with God. And right now you can't. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Your nature is marred and twisted by sin. Yet God wants to solve that problem. He wants to make things right in your life. It comes by seeing that there's only one answer to the problem of sin, and his name is Jesus. You see, the man or woman who has not received Christ the Savior are lost. A man is lost without Christ, and if he or she were to die in that state, they would stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as judge to give an account for the choices they've made. And having made the choice of rejecting Christ, are banished forever to a place called hell. I don't think you and I this morning need downplay the truth. I don't think you and I this morning need soft sell the message. It's a wonderful message. It's a message of love. It's a message of the greatest love the world has ever known. But we need to be fair with men and women and tell them that sin has its consequences. If sin didn't have consequences, my Lord Jesus wouldn't have given his life at Calvary. If sin didn't have consequences, he wouldn't have had to come and to die and to bear in his own body on the tree the sins of the world. But sin has its consequences. And to die in your sins means eternal damnation. Lost. It's a solemn word, isn't it? And I wish to God this morning that we would feel the weight of that word. That we who know the Lord Jesus would feel the weight of those who are lost. That we this morning who know not Christ would begin to think of the horrific consequences of dying lost. never to have another opportunity to hear the gospel, never again to hear the glorious message of Christ's love for you, never again to have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul said to the Romans, he said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Romans chapter 1. That word ready is a powerful word. It literally means before wrath. And Paul said, before the judgment of God falls on you in your fallen state, I want to tell you the good news of the gospel. That's why we're here this morning. I want you to know what Jesus Christ has done for you. See, on every man and every woman who knows not Christ, the Spirit of God fixes that word lost. And I know this morning that it's not popular to heed the words of God. It's not popular this morning to heed the words we find on the pages of Holy Writ, and yet that's the statement of the eternal God who cannot lie. Without Jesus Christ, we are lost. Someone here saying, how many times is that man going to say lost? I hope you leave here, and if you don't know Christ, that's the word you hear, lost. And then you're reminded that the Savior came to seek and to save you, that which was lost. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been found? Have you ever been found by the one who seeks and saves the lost? It's a paramount thing, isn't it? It's altogether important to know the truth about ourselves and our souls and our standing before God. It's not until we recognize we are lost that we realize that we need to be saved. I remember a story of a group that went on the 3-day camping trip during boys camp, and I was reminded of it this year at boys camp. They were told at the outset of the trip to come to this fork in the road where there was a tree that was easily recognizable and to turn right, and the campsite would be about a kilometer up the way. And there the counselor and the three campers that were with him, off they went. They got to the tree. It was easily recognizable. They knew exactly the tree they meant. They went left. You see, the counselor knew better than the one who had given directions. And yet, for a whole half a day, they wandered around not seeking their way back. Why? Because they weren't lost. They were going the right way. They knew the way they were going. And obviously, they came to a point in that day where they recognized that they indeed were lost. And they had to find their way back. And they never started going back towards that fork in the road till they recognized that they were going the wrong way. And you this morning will never turn to Jesus Christ until you recognize that you're going the wrong way. This pulpit with this precious book on it is the fork in your road. And it wants to point you the right way. Oh, it isn't me. It's the person of the Lord Jesus, because he came to seek and to save you. Indeed, if you're lost. You see, without Jesus Christ, we're lost. That's the truth about our lives. I was lost, but a day came in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. I received him as Lord and Savior, and I want you this morning to know him as Lord and Savior as well. How many testimonies can be told in this auditorium of men and women of various ages who at one time in their lives were lost, and then they knew what it meant to be saved because they turned to Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Have you ever been found this morning? Do you know what it means to be found by the one who seeks and the one who saves the lost? I know if tomorrow never comes, I know if my car never reaches camp this afternoon, that I in an instant, when I take my last breath, will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, safe and secure forever. My confidence rests on it. I am persuaded and absolutely convinced that that's true. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. I wonder if you can say that beyond the shadow of a doubt. We here at Rideau want that to be true of every life here, that you know Jesus Christ as Savior. What kind of eternity would you go to this morning, my friends, without Christ? What kind of eternity would you face if you were to die not knowing Christ? Can I ask you if you're ready? And can I tell you on the authority of God's word that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not ready this morning. You're not ready to die. You're not ready to stand before the Lord Jesus. You're not ready to die. If a man were told that he were lost, as I've told you this morning, and that there were no answer to the problem, and that there was no Savior to rectify that problem, it would be a sad story indeed. It would be a miserable time here at Read of You Bible Chapel. But God tells me that I am a lost sinner, and in the very same breath, He tells me of a loving Savior who came to rectify the problem, who came to deal with the problem of sin. Did you ever ask Him to come? The Bible says He came. Did you ever ask Him to come? No, you didn't. He came to those who were His enemies. It was His own love that brought Him here to earth. It was His own love for mankind that brought Him here to pay the penalty of sin. How does He save? He saves by His death. He saves by His work at Calvary's cross, by His work for us on the cross. And the only way that we can be saved is through exercising faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. It's what it means to believe. It's not just mental acquiescence to the facts. It's agreeing with God about our sinful state. It's repenting from sin and turning to the only answer for sin. His name is Jesus. Is that true in your life this morning? You have no idea this morning, if you're lost, how much the Savior loves you. You have no idea this morning how much He longs for you, how much He wants to be your Savior. It's a very sad thing this morning to stand here and tell you that many of God's people are tiring of the gospel. If you're tired of the gospel this morning, you re-examine your life. For the gospel is the sweetest message the world has ever told. It reaffirms for us and reminds us of the greatest love that the world has ever known. If there is a soul here who knows that they are lost, if there's a soul here who wants to be saved, they can be saved this morning through faith in Jesus Christ. You say to me, Bruce, I don't know how. Let Zacchaeus show you exactly how to be saved. I want you to notice three things about Zacchaeus' life. The first is this, and we've made mention of it already. Zacchaeus wanted. He wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was in earnest, and he wanted to see Jesus, but the scriptures tell us that he could not, in verse 3, for the press. He couldn't for the crowd. And we're told as well that he was a short man. Now you can understand the practical realities of that, can't you? Remember that Zacchaeus was a publican, and he was a chief publican. He was a man who took taxes from the Jews and gave them to Rome. And yet Zacchaeus, as other publicans, were given the privilege of taking as much as they wanted, as long as Rome got their portion. And so they gouged the people. Maybe the taxes were $100. They'd take 150, and 50 went in the pocket. And people hated publicans. And you can imagine being a short man in a crowd of people, how easy it would have been for a normal-sized man to go, bang, right in the head, right? They hated Zacchaeus. It's true, isn't it? You can imagine, there's the man that gouged us. Oh, sorry about that. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you have done that? It's true. We laugh about it, but it's true. Zacchaeus was hated, and that's probably the least of his troubles. He would have been a lot worse treated, I'm sure, by men who had been maligned and men who had been mistreated by him in his tax collecting. And Zacchaeus not only was short and couldn't see, but I'm sure Zacchaeus had a fear for his own well-being. But that didn't stop Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus, and he wasn't going to be held back. You know, the devil does the best he can to hinder men and women from coming to Christ. Sometimes he tries to keep us out of meetings like this. Sometimes when we're in meetings like this, he tries to keep us out of the message as we think about everything else but what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't let the devil keep you. Don't let the devil hinder you. It was a big crowd that hindered Zacchaeus that day, and he was a little man. And he sees a tree, and he says, I'm going to go up in the tree, and when the Lord Jesus passes by, I'm going to be able to see him. And when I read that, I think to myself, I can just hear the devil saying to Zacchaeus, everybody, Zacchaeus, is going to laugh at you. This little man hanging out of a tree. What in the world are you doing, Zacchaeus? The devil would say to him, they're going to laugh at him. They're going to laugh at you, Zacchaeus. So don't go up in the tree. Just accept the hindrances that are there and just go to your house and let Jesus go his way. Can I ask you this morning what your crowd is? What is it that keeps you, if you don't know Christ, from knowing him? What's your crowd? What's your hindrance this morning? What's your difficulty that keeps you from being saved? You, as Zacchaeus, need to get out from the press. You need to get away from that obstacle that keeps you from Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus cleared away from the press. And if there is a sinner here this morning who wants to know Jesus Christ as Savior, he will say in his heart, I'm not going to be kept from that dear one. I want to know Jesus. Don't let the crowds, don't let the laughter, don't let the whisperings of the devil keep you from seeing Jesus. We see something else about Zacchaeus' life. Not only did he want to see Jesus, he saw him, didn't he? He saw him in the flesh. Now, Zacchaeus was in earnest, and would be to God this morning that if you're here without him, you're in earnest as well. That you care enough about eternity to think seriously about these things. What happens next in our story? We read that Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus. Now, you gotta put yourself in his place here. Here's Zacchaeus. He's up in the tree figuring he's incognito, right? And this one named Jesus looks up and calls him by name. Have you ever tried to imagine how that would have made you feel? I tried to imagine what it would be to, like, if I was up in the tree and this one named Jesus came by and said, Bruce, I'd fall right out of the tree. He would shock me to death, wouldn't he? I don't know him, but he knows my name. And not only that, he says, today I'm coming to your house. Jesus had an appointment with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't know anything about it, but that's okay. The Lord knew all about it, didn't he? You know, this morning, there's not one person here by accident. It's altogether possible the Lord Jesus has an appointment with you this morning. Maybe he wants to speak to you about the difficulties and problems you're facing. Maybe he wants to discuss with you the realities of life, what it means to be without Christ. Zacchaeus had no idea, but Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He had his eye on Zacchaeus. And can I tell you something this morning? He has his eye on you. The God of heaven cares about individuals. He knows why you're here. He knows the deepest thoughts and feelings of your heart. He knows the pain you're feeling even if no one else does. He knows the concerns that are rattling around in your brain though no one else does, even the one closest to you. And he wants to deal with those issues in your life even this morning. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He knew what was in Zacchaeus' heart, and he knows what's in your heart as well this morning. He knows if you're one of his, and he knows if you're not. And if you want to be his this morning, if you want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, you need to break from the press of the crowd. You need to break away from whatever it is that's hindering you, and you need to get to him. What does the scriptures tell us that Zacchaeus did? It says that he made haste when he came down. It says he came and for joy. Oh, he was thrilled. He wanted to see Jesus. Jesus had said to him, today I must abide at your house. What a wonderful word today is, isn't it? What a wonderful word. To be able to tell somebody that today they can know what it means to be saved. That today they can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That today they can be safe and secure for eternity in the arms of the everlasting God. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, not another appointment a month from now, today. For today, as Paul would tell us, is the day of salvation. And Zacchaeus knew exactly what that meant, and he made haste. Nothing was going to hinder Zacchaeus. He came down from the tree and he met with the Lord Jesus in his house. He wasn't going to put it off anymore. And don't you put it off this morning if you're lost in your sins. Don't wait for tomorrow. The Lord says today. And he means today. One last thing about Zacchaeus. Oh, he wanted to see Jesus. And he in fact did see Jesus. And he finally received Jesus. He made haste, verse 6 says, came down and received him joyfully. Can I tell you this morning that the scriptures tell us that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repented? Oh, it's unparalleled, the joy in heaven. You'll know that joy too if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. How may we receive him, you ask? How do we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? The way we receive Jesus Christ is to believe on his name. To believe what the Word of God says about Him is true. To agree with God about what it says about our standing in sin. And to turn from what the Bible says is hindering us and keeping us from God. And to crying out to the only one who can save us. You see, receive is an action word. It means the total body that cries out and reaches out for the only hope. Accept is a passive word. We use it interchangeably, but the Scriptures don't speak about accepting Christ. They speak about receiving Him. Because when we accept, it's passive. We agree with the facts. That's not what it takes to be saved. What it takes is to receive, to actively cry out to the only hope, agreeing with God about sin, and asking to be saved from our sin. He comes down and receives Him joyfully. You hear what's said in verse 9 as well? Read it with me. This day is salvation come to this house. It's a personal salvation. It's a present, instantaneous salvation. Zacchaeus must have exercised faith in this one named Jesus, and he was saved in an instant. You don't need to come to the front this morning. You don't need to talk to the preacher. You don't need an audience or an appointment with the elders. You don't need to follow any particular person. What you need to do in the quietness of your heart is to agree with God and turn to the only answer to the problem of sin. His name is Jesus. That's all you need to do this morning. The moment you receive the Lord Jesus, the Scriptures say you're no longer lost. You're saved. What a wonderful truth that is. Saved for eternity. The man who receives, the woman who receives Jesus Christ has eternal life on the spot. This day, notice what the Lord says, is salvation come. Not coming. It's not a future thing, though the end of its outworking will be future as we change these vile bodies into incorruptible bodies. But today is salvation come. Salvation has come, present tense, in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the man who receives Christ has salvation. I can tell you what's coming, future tense. Judgment. The Scriptures promise that a day is coming when every man and woman will give an account for the choices they've made concerning Jesus Christ. Will you stand for Christ this morning? Not literally. Will you turn to Him and ask Him to save you? The Savior had found the sinner that He looked for so desperately and had saved him. The sinner had found the Savior and received Him joyfully. Each had found just what they had sought after. Can I ask you this morning, have you sought the Savior? Have you looked for the only answer to the problem of sin? He's here this morning. And He wants to save you. Take heed to the life of Zacchaeus. Take heed to the example of one who realized that without Christ they would be lost forever. And make the only choice that means the salvation of your soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, the message is so simple and yet so profound. We thank Thee so very much, Father, this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee so very much, our Father, this morning for an opportunity to speak well of Christ. And Father, for us this morning who know Him as Savior, the majority certainly, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be thrilled anew at that wonderful story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, for those who might be with us who know not Christ, Father, how we pray this morning that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and convict of sin and of righteousness and the assurance of judgment to come. Father, we understand from Thy Word that Thou art not willing that any should perish. And Father, we commend all to Thee this morning, asking that the Word of God would do that work that it has promised to do. Father, we commend ourselves to Thee and ask Thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.